Blog Talk Radio.
So, greetings everybody. My name is Icarus and welcome to the program. Today I'm going to be talking about substance abuse. But actually, before I begin here, I was watching a YouTube video, and this kind of caught my attention. I don't know why. It just happened to appear in my feed, happened to show up, because I've been watching a lot of radio videos lately, because, I don't know, this is my passion, so I like it. So I'm trying to get perspective from different people and, you know, different points of view and different thought patterns. It just kind of learn so I can develop my own style, so I can grow as a person, so I can get better. But anyway, I was sitting there and I was watching this particular video, and it was about Bubba the Love Sponge, and it was about this other guy who used to be formerly known as Cowhead. His name is now Mike Matei. And these two individuals were sitting there going back and forth on their radio shows, and they're sitting here arguing. And I don't know, me as a listener, me as a viewer, just watching the video, I mean, that would kind of throw me off with, you know, just that whole little spew, that whole little thought pattern right there going off. I mean, you've got these two individuals are making millions of dollars a year, and they're sitting here, they're complaining, and they're doing this kind of stuff. Like, I ever get to that point in my life where I'm doing that in my career, I'm leaving. I will walk out of radio and leave. I will call it a day. I will walk away, because that devalues the show. I mean, yeah, maybe a little controversy here and there adds a substance or adds a little bit of a thought to it, a little bit more of a, oh, hey, it's provocative, or hey, it's this, or hey, it's that. But it's just, I don't know, it demeans the show. I mean, in my eyes. But that's not what I'm going to be sitting here talking about today. I just wanted to put that out there. I mean, they make $1 million a year, and they sit there and they complain. So what I'm actually going to be talking about here is substance abuse. A lot of individuals that sit here and they talk about this particular subject matter, they look at it from the outside looking in. They don't have the real firsthand experience, the real perspective, the real you know, firsthand experience. It's just, oh, well, blah, 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 you know, stuff like that. What I'm going to talk about here is firsthand account. I mean, I don't know if I should be putting my cards here on the table. I guess it's kind of late now because I'm already broadcasting, so it's no point in sitting there backing out now. I'm responsible, or I take care of an individual who has an addiction, and this is why I'm saying this particular subject matter is near and dear to my heart, or personal for me, because, I don't know, it's been an essence of my life. It's been just right there out in the open. I've, you know, had to deal with it behind, well, not so much out in the open, but I've had to deal with it behind the scenes. It's just been an aspect of my life. And what I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk about is, I'm going to talk about a little bit of personal experience, but I'm going to also talk about other particular things that play into part in this, play into a role. So I wanted to start out with the cause and effect for why individuals get into substance abuse, or why they start doing it, why do they do it, why do they get into the self-destructive behavior. So the most common thing for individuals that get into substance abuse, get it, you know, later on in life, you know, when they're older, it's, you know, early forms of child abuse, ranging from sexual abuse to physical abuse. I mean, you know, when you're growing up and you're a child, and individuals are sitting in there doing these horrible, despicable things to you, it affects you. It puts like a burden on your conscience, or a burden on your spirit, because you just think this is normal. You just think this is a normal thing, when it's really not. You know, a lot of these individuals, nobody asks for a lot of the stuff that happens to them. I mean, it's PTSD, it's post-traumatic stress disorder. I've gone through PTSD because, you know, I had a death of a parent, and, you know, that it affects you. Like, I had a bad situation happen to me, and it was unhealthy, and, you know, I turned to alcohol as a form of coping with my depression. I've since gotten better with that, but, I mean, it's an easy out, you know. It's an easy way for this person to, I don't know, it's just cope, you know, because you get physically abused, you get, you know, or sexual abuse, you know, it's just, you can't handle it. Your mind just tells you, oh, you know, I need to do this, or I need to do pills, I need to do alcohol, just to kind of comprehend. I mean, because if you're starting out, like, I mean, it affects your self-esteem too, and it lowers your self-worth, because you're just going, maybe I'm a horrible person, or maybe I'm a despicable human being or something, you know? But I mean, the way to recognize this and to essentially help the individuals that are in your life, whether that be your family or your friends or whatever, if their behavior patterns start changing, like decline interest in hobbies that they were doing, their grades start slipping, aggression at work, irritability, forgetfulness, disappearing of money or value from friends and family, wane in depression and hopelessness. They avoid people. They don't want to be around it. Like if certain things that they used to do on a regular basis or certain things that used to be near and dear to these people starts just changing, you know, be on the lookout. I mean, there's certain signs and there's certain things. Like if it's just looking like it's just changing, or if it's looking like it's just getting worse, then, you know, help them. I mean, not too many people, like, they don't know. Like, I mean, if you haven't gone through the experience or if you don't know what to look for, then you can't really be at fault for it. You can't be held accountable. But it's like these individuals are just sitting here, they're crying for help. They're looking for it. I mean, and, you know, but not everybody sees the sign, so it gets worse before it gets better. Common things that individuals do or use for substance abuse is marijuana, cocaine, alcohol, heroin. These, and it can range from bad to worse or good to bad. It's alcoholism, you know. I'm going to talk a little bit here. Marijuana is commonly known as grass herb. It's an individual plant. It's commonly an illegal drug. The use of effects for pleasure or relaxation, coordination and memory. It's been linked as a gateway drug for, up into harder drugs such as cocaine, such as rock or crack. Doesn't really have too many adverse effects, but like I said, it's a gateway drug. The next common thing here is cocaine. Cocaine can be smoked, injected, snorted, or swallowed. The effects of the drug, it constricts your blood vessels, can lead to heart damage, can lead to stroke, air irregularity, heartbeat, or severe depression. It's pretty potent substance, I mean, cocaine. Heroin addicts, it can range from pure heroin to not so pure heroin. It has a lot of adverse effects. I mean, heroin has also been linked to heart vessel problems. It's been linked to AIDS and HIV. It's dangerous stuff. I mean, these are just some of the things. Alcohol can cause blurred vision. It can cause drinking and driving accidents, DUIs, deaths, just a whole host of very nasty things. But I'm being notified that I have to go take a break. So I will go take a break, and I will be right back. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Icarus. I was talking about, before the commercial break, I was talking about some of the drugs that are commonly used with substance abuse problems. So I'm going to continue on here and talk a little bit about family. I want to talk about the common discussion that I want to talk about here with the cause and effect is, or moving on into a cause and effect direction. Substance abuse or drug dependency issues or drug dependency problems, they have a common factor. If an individual that, in your family has a history of alcoholism, has a history of, if it's in your family history, you're more likely to fall into these patterns. It's genetics. And the individuals that you hang around with to also play a role or a outright factor in your development, in your if you're going to cause or get into these kind of things. But family history is genetics. It's been found that in identical twins, that they're more likely, the individuals, if they had a history of it, if it was in their genetics, it was more likely that both individuals, both twins, were going to essentially use the substances or get into substance abuse, get into a get into a pattern of doing that. Fraternal twins, studies have been conducted with fraternal twins. It has been found that if one of the twins uses substances, then and the other one is more not likely. The reason why in identical twins it's more relevant, or if it's more of a repeat pattern, I'd like to say, because they share the same genetics. It's basically the same gene. So if one's going to use, the other one's going to use it, where it's different in fraternal twins. If one's using, the other one's more than likely not to use. You know, family history, the people that you hang around with, and a lot of host of other problems that, play into a factor of you abusing substances or you getting into a destructive tendencies will play a whole host of it. Like in what I talked about earlier before in the break, sexual abuse and all that kind of stuff. It's family, but family history plays a part in this, and just outside factors. So what I wanted to move on to now is another common thing with people that abuse substances, and it's really common. It's a common trait with a lot of people, and it's a real problem. I want to say worldwide, almost. I mean, because it's a very key important thing here, and that's loneliness. Loneliness will cause you to basically just escape, and I have personal experience with that, and I'll talk about that here in a little bit. But people get involved with substances such as alcohol and drugs because they're just lonely. They don't have anybody. Like, I mean, if you feel like you don't have anybody to talk to or to basically sound off to, you get into a pattern of where you're just like, well, nobody cares. So it's escape from reality, and it's a way that you cope. A lot of people that abuse substances, I mean, it's a common thing here that it's just for coping, because they've just got so much emotional trauma and pain and turmoil going on in them, so they cope because they can't handle it. A famous comedian, Russell Brand, one time said in an interview that he took drugs because he was lonely. The feeling of isolation or feeling loneliness for some is everyday struggle. You know, at certain points in your life, it's okay to just back away and, spend time with yourself or just focus on your own being. But I mean, if it's a constant thing and you're constantly just alone and you don't have anybody and it's been shown that, loneliness has been linked to high mortality rates. It's been linked to suicides. People who abuse substances, cause they just cope. I mean, for long periods of time of just being isolated and being alone, they have very dangerous, effects on you. And people, they'll tend to self-medicate with drugs and alcohol, just, it's like coping. Robin Williams, prime example here. Robin Williams was an individual that suffered you know, he had depression, but he also had loneliness. But it was brought on by early parts in his life, you know, with his family essentially just throwing him under the bus, you know, or abandoning him almost in a way. And, you know, he was just isolated. And, you know, he got, when you have low self-esteem and when you have low self-worth and you abuse a substance or you take a substance in, you know, it's, you know, for an individual that's already at like 50% for happiness or 60% or whatever for happiness, if you're at like a 10 and you're doing like, you know, you're doing alcohol and you're doing pills just to kind of to self-medicate, to get yourself into a happiness, you know, that'll knock you up to like a 50 or a 60, you know? Whereas like individuals that have already got that, you know, that'll put them up to like a little bit more, a little bit less, you know? So they get back into these repeat patterns because it's like, it makes them feel loved, you know? It's just, it's the warmth that they get from it. A lot of individuals with, particularly with loneliness, some individuals, they choose to be alone, and that's their prerogative. That's what they want to do. That's how they want to live their life. A lot of other individuals, sometimes they just get themselves into a situation where they don't, you know, they don't want to be alone. They just, it's outside situations happen, and it puts them into a bad situation. Like if you have ADHD, if you have Asperger's, if you have ADHD, you have Asperger's, you know,